I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, John Zmirak joining us now as he does every Tuesday. John, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
We're doing very well. What's new at the stream?
I've got a piece from a few days ago I think people would enjoy. It's called If Americans Vote in Biden, It Proves We Are Surrender Lemmings.
Surrender Lemmings, I like that.
Now, I was thinking of the term surrender monkeys, which is something that people used to use to make fun of the French. In the piece I talk about, you know, it's still a historical mystery why the French in 1940 collapsed so quickly when the Germans attacked them. 20 years before, in World War I, they had fought doggedly, I mean, really united as a country. 1940, they get hit, they fall apart. Well, I'm comparing when the U.S. was hit in 2001, on September 11th, our whole country rallied. Even though we were politically divided, nobody helped the terrorists. Nobody thought we should help al-Qaeda. We should magnify the impact of their attack on our country. But that's exactly what happened this year. When the Chinese bioweapon hit us, we know the virus comes from a Chinese bioweapons lab. We know the Chinese, once it escaped from the lab, locked down their province, locked down the country, wouldn't let anyone travel because it would spread the disease, but they kept flying people all around the world, especially to Europe and the U.S. They kept the flights going. All of that is public record. Meanwhile, Donald Trump was trying to stop flight from China. Joe Biden was denouncing him. The Democrats were denouncing their attempt to limit the spread of the virus as xenophobic. Once the virus was here, the Democrats locked down the country.
Right. And still have in some cases.
Right. So the Chinese intentionally spread this virus in order that if their economy was going to get locked down, well, damn it, so was America, so was the West. Everybody was going to suffer with this. What did the Democrats do but intentionally help the Chinese sabotage the economy because they thought it would help them win the election? And now we know that Joe Biden's son was getting money, millions of dollars from the Chinese Communist Party.
Nope.
Just think about that. It's a lot like the Frenchman who collaborated with the Nazis in 1940.
Yeah, well said. Can't argue with that at all. And Andy and I were talking even at the top of the hour. One of the things I specifically asked Andy was, you know, how long do these lockdowns continue? And depending upon who wins, what's next? And I don't All right. know what your thoughts are, John, but Andy, give your answer.
Well, if Trump wins, the lockdowns will continue as Democrat governors attempt to punish the American people and Donald Trump and make things as bad as they can. They will phase out, though. If Joe Biden wins, I believe that they will begin to phase out over the next 3 to 4 months. Because, look, here's the bottom line. The Democrat governors, they know, even though they put out all this spin that masks and distancing are actually saving the economy, they know full well masks and distancing are annihilating the economy. And they've got all these people terrified into believing their spin.
That's right.
What's going to happen, I believe, is that they'll be phased down. What do you think, John? I'm saying if Joe Biden wins.
I think if Biden wins, they will be partly phased out, but I think the Democrats are very happy with small businesses disappearing and being replaced by products from Amazon. And
True.
They're happy with the churches being closed and political meetings being suppressed. I don't think they're going to give up this level of power over individual citizens. I think they like it. I think Gretchen Whitmer and Andrew Cuomo enjoy being dictators, and I don't think they want to let it go.
Oh, we have the same thing here with Governor Polis. Johnny's a little dictator as well. We're in the same boat in Colorado. Okay, let's reverse that. What if Donald Trump wins? What are your thoughts?
I think the governors like that will continue to try to get away with that, and Trump is going to have to defy them. Trump's going to have to step in. You know, he's going to have to use federal power wherever he can, and especially red state governors push people like Abbott of Texas, because if the red states are doing great, it can't go on forever. The voters will rebel. Judges will rebel.
So what does Trump, though, in that particular case, federally speaking, like in Colorado, we still have shutdowns when it comes to restaurants and bars and gatherings and sporting events and things along those lines. We've even got cities like the city of Denver now that, Andy, it's down to 5 people in Denver, you have to wear a mask everywhere, including outside. How does the federal government stop that?
Well, I'm saying if everybody's doing great in Florida and Texas and so on, I don't think the citizens of those states will put up with it for much longer.
Yeah, John, I would say that Republicans right now are treading very lightly on COVID publicly until after the election. Here's what happens after the election. If Trump wins, I believe Trump goes hardcore into opening everything up for the good of the American people. And I really believe every Republican governor will open up very quickly if Trump wins. I'm talking about the Democrat states where you are going to see an even greater dichotomy between red and blue states after the election if Trump wins in their approach to COVID. Wouldn't you think?
And that'll be great. That'll be great because it'll be obvious that people are not dying in Texas. They're not dying in Florida. And they're locked up in these other states. So, you know, the contrast between the poisonous failure of Democrat policies and Republican policies will become all the more obvious and all the more undeniable.
I agree.
Plus, of course, they'll be letting the rioters go crazy in the blue states, claiming that Trump stole the election, that Russian hackers, you know, programmed the vote machines. I mean,
By the way, John, I think you're being very prophetic in what you're saying right now, because I predict he does win. It may take a little while to learn all of that, but what you just said I think is very prophetic, because that's exactly what will happen.
Well, check out more from me at stream.org.
Thanks, John, as always.
I appreciate it, sir.
Take care. And yeah, I mean that sincerely, Andy. I think John was being very prophetic in what he just said a moment ago, because I still predict Trump wins, but I think everything you and he just said also happens afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Republican governors all want to open up. You've got a couple that have been brave enough to do so, but most are really holding back. Once they get past the election and they are still in office and it's no longer affecting the presidential election, Republican governors are going to open all over the place. That's what I predict.
So then the question we can answer when we come back is, let's say, for example, we'll use our neighboring states, Utah and Wyoming.
Right.
Because I don't think this will be New Mexico, but let's just say Utah, Wyoming, do what you just said, which very easily could happen. It's kind of already happening as it is.
It will happen.
And it even gets, you know, more so after the election. Do some folks from Colorado move? Hold that thought. Okay? We'll talk about that as soon as we come back. Barber's Foods is next, folks. And Greg Bloom, owner there, would love to provide you with, and I mean this sincerely, folks, the best meat that you'll ever eat in your entire life. And I mean that, folks. And it's really easy. Right now, you get 2 free pounds of Wagyu ground beef with every order. Just put beef in at checkout. But literally, folks, if you want the best beef, chicken, pork, salmon, you name it, they've got it all. Bison, you name it, they've got it. It's barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been feeding Colorado families the highest quality protein since 1949, sourced from farm, ranch, and fishing families that they know personally. In September and October, Barber's Foods is proud to offer your family wild-caught Alaskan sockeye fillets, caught by their own fishermen who personally catch the salmon in the Bristol Bay of Alaska in a boat that they own and operate. Go to barbersfoods.com to pre-order your Alaskan salmon fillets. And while you're there, check out the Morgan Ranch Wagyu, Colorado-sourced USDA choice beef and bison, Beeler's non-GMO gestation crate-free Duroc pork, and Pittman Farms family air-chilled chicken products. Stock up now and save 5% off your entire order with the code SAVE5. You care where your food comes from. So buy your proteins from Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned. Barbersfoods.com.
Flesh and Beck, Kevin Flesh. And folks, no matter what you've got going on, and I have situations that happen constantly. In fact, may have to use Kevin here in the very near future when it comes to insurance things, because stuff happens. Andy knows what I'm talking about. I won't get into details, but stuff happens. And you could even be fighting with your own insurance company. I'm not talking about the other guys. I'm talking you could be fighting with your very own company about your very own policy and how you get your own stuff handled. And if they're not ponying up, guess who you need? Kevin Flesh.
Absolutely.
He'll take care of
you. None of them want to pay.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy. That is a fact. So even your own. Give Kevin a call, 303-806-8886. It's fleshlawfirm.com.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
So you're required now to wear a mask.
Yes.
So you go to the restaurant, says wear the mask, so you wear the mask. You enter in, though, and now you got to fill out this form. It's all this contact tracing stuff.
Yes.
What's legal, what's not, what should you do, what shouldn't you do?
I would put down all the wrong information.
So you would go eat dinner there and just fill it out incorrectly?
Yep, I did it last night. They asked me for my cell phone number and I gave them the wrong number. So you have every right not to. Or you have every right to give them the information that isn't accurate.
If you've never been in before, they're asking you for the info, it's the first time you've been in, just give them the wrong info.
Right.
I'm Bill Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not applying for a mortgage,
no,
I'm getting a burger.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's why I was there to meet a potential new client. I had some chips and salt. And water. I don't think I need to. I have contact tracing with my Chili's.
It's not that big a deal.
Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Common sense legal advice. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886.
Geno's Auto Service, and they want to take care of your vehicle as we head into the winter months, folks. In fact, we may have some winter coming this weekend. Looks like we probably are going to. Might even have some snow on the ground here in the metro area. Not want to shock anybody, but hey, it's that time of the year. Stuff can change. Halloween, that's typically kind of one of those first big events of the year. And as it would have it, yes, that's going to be the case this weekend. Make sure your vehicle's ready to go this winter. Go to Geno's Auto Service. It's genosautoservice.com. Geno's with a J, 303-794-6700.
For over 37 years, Geno's has been your go-to auto service shop in Littleton for all of your car repair and maintenance needs. This month, take advantage of Geno's engine and cabin air filter special and receive a NAPA $20 gift card. Do you want to breathe better air in your vehicle? Your cabin air filter helps to remove pollen, dust, smoke, and pollutants from the air inside your car. It's recommended to change your cabin air filter once a year in Colorado. Your engine air filter prevents dust, dirt, and contaminants from your engine. With any service, we'll do a free battery check to get you safely back on the road. Geno's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers, honoring warranty work you may have had done. Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off for service and pick up when ready. Geno's is a Colorado Select member and conveniently located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Check out Geno's Google reviews or call us with any questions. Visit Geno's online at genosautoservice.com.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. All right, answer the question I asked you before we went to
break.
What
was it again? Restate it.
What were we talking about? COVID.
Okay.
Lockdowns.
Yes.
Shutdowns. Biden. Trump.
Okay, because it wasn't if Biden wins. It's
no,
if Trump wins,
what happens? We were talking, and you and John both were on the same page about, you know, we'd almost need some sort of federal push just to get all of the businesses reopened
and so on. What you're saying is what are people in Democrat states going to do?
Correct.
By these Republican states that are doing it right.
Well,
okay.
My question directly is, are we going to see movement?
Exodus.
Yes.
No, I think you'll see a small exodus. What I think you're going to see more of, John, is uprising. Because look, right now you can pretty much keep a lid on the stories coming out of places like South Dakota where people are living the high life. And, you know, people here in Colorado don't know that's happening up there that much. And by the way, the media is really complicit in this.
Oh, they're not saying anything.
It's just like the media is trying to hold down the Hunter Biden story. Well, also trying to hold down the story of how happy people are in Florida, in Georgia, in South Dakota, and so forth.
That's right.
Well, you can't keep a lid on that long. You can only do that. You can do it through the election. That's only a few weeks. You can't do it for several months. And so what's going to happen is this. People in places like Colorado are going to rise up in rage. If they are hearing that the numbers are not spiraling out of control in Wyoming, Utah, and especially in places like South Dakota, they're going to rise up and say, give us back our lives. And most importantly, you're going to have businesses rise up and say, give us back our non-terrified customers.
Okay, so I have a question for you. By the way, I got to slip this in really quick because it was a text message that came in. When it comes to dropping off your ballots, number one, I don't believe in mailing them. So yes, when it comes to dropping off ballots, It has to be in your county. There will be a list that came with your ballot. If not, it's online as to where those places of drop-off are. But yes, it cannot just be anywhere in the state. It has to be in your county. So let's say, for example,
yeah, just go to your county website. They'll have it.
Let's say, though, for example, you're in, I don't know, the Western Slope in Mesa County.
Right.
And you drive to Denver for some odd reason one day, and you just think, oh, I'm in Denver. I'll just pop one in real quick. You can't do that.
Right, you can't do that. It's not going to find its way where
it will never go back to Mesa. You just lost your vote if you do that.
But this is one of the things where it's actually much more simple. You know how it is generally when you have to work with government. It's incredibly complex and tedious. Not this time.
This is easy.
This is easy. You go to your county website, and they're going to have a spot right there where you go and find out where the drop-offs are.
By the way, if you don't want to go there, it's state.sos.co, I believe. You can always go to the State Secretary of State's website.
True.
And you can find information there if you need to as well.
You can. I just like going to the county so I know where mine are. But you're right. The state should outline them as well.
For example, if you don't even know where you're at, just go to the Secretary of State's website. There's multiple ways there to direct you where you need to go. Okay, back to COVID business and all of that. So I got another question for you.
Once again, really quick, business owners are going to rise up because business owners understand that a terrified public doesn't spend.
Okay, I got that. Now,
go
along
ahead.
Those lines.
All right.
So you're Joe, business owner.
All right.
You're tired of everything that's been going on. You're tired of not having any customers. Eventually, everybody starts to revolt. Some of the mask ordinances get lifted, and you just decide, no matter what, I'm going to lift mine anyways. I'm just going to go to town and make sure people can come in and enjoy themselves in my particular business. Okay,
right.
That's what Andy's going to do. Now, here's a question for you. Do you think we're going to have this Kevin Karen versus the rest of the world when it comes to Andy deciding to open his business? In other words, are the Karen and Kevins of the world going to dog Andy all over social media because Andy finally decided to open up his business with no mask?
Well, yeah, and that's why Andy does not open his business on his own. What Andy does is he first goes to many like-minded business owners, and they agree together that they are going to open as one. If you open on your own, they can swarm on you like locusts. So what you do is you open a bunch of you in Parker, a bunch of you in Littleton or wherever you are.
By the way, what Andy's
saying,
all at
once, open up.
I believe what you're saying is we're not just talking all automotive shops in Parker or all flower shops in Parker. We're saying you guys all get together with your Chamber of Commerce and say we're just going to open the town up.
Yes.
Well, we are all in this. Now, if you want to be, you know, a mask business and you want to feel that way and you feel like that's the majority of your customers, knock your socks off. But in general, we're going to open.
Look, it's this simple, John.
Which, by the way, why can't that happen now?
I know. Well, it can't happen because government wants power. But the thing is this. Until that point that people are able to enter businesses at their own risk, those have to be the key words. Enter at your own risk. Until they can do that, these businesses are doomed.
Agree.
They're completely doomed. We have to have it to where these businesses basically say, look, we're going to open and you enter at your own risk. And here's how it's going to go once they do that. At first, you're only going to see a trickle of people come in because you've got a terrified populace.
Yeah, they're very terrified right now, unfortunately.
That trickle will open to a geyser inside of 2 weeks. Because people are going to see their friends enjoying life. They're going to see the people near them enjoying life. And once they see that they're enjoying life, they're going to say, you know what? That's enough. I want my life back. I want to go back in and shop without fear. And if I get the thing, if I catch COVID, I catch it. And that's what's going to happen. But it can only happen once a number of businesses all together as one open at your own risk.
By the way, I believe everything you just said to be correct.
Yeah,
100%.
And it'll work.
I believe it will as well. Now, the caveat to that, I want to make sure that we're all clear on this, is we're not talking about trade associations getting together and saying, okay, all the barbers are going to open or all the repair shops are going to open or all the flower shops are going to open. No. We're talking about, you know, counties and cities and chamber of commerces and leads groups and so on coming together and saying, we are going to open up the town.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah. You have an example right now. King Soopers is in a number of places kind of rebelling.
I know.
Okay.
Which is awesome, by the way.
Right, right. And, you know, you got one that's just out east of us. What's that little town out east of us on 70? Bennett.
Bennett, yes.
Okay. King Soopers and Bennett, they're basically saying, look, somebody who doesn't wear a mask, no bigs. Okay, we're going to let it go. period. We've had it. We want people to just be able to shop. All right. As people start to do that, do you think the cops are going to go into every King Supers and shut them down? No, they're not. Okay, so
between
what happens
you and me,
if,
with the exception of just a rare cop here and there, I don't think they care.
No, they do not care. And what happens then if somebody else joins King Supers, which they will? Now, Walmart won't, but you get a few of these places that join King Supers, and pretty soon the cops are going to look at Polis and just say, there are too many of them. We can't shut them all down. We're not going to go start arresting the entire populace.
Well said. Enchanted Kitchens, folks, is next. They want to make sure that you've got a kitchen that you would like to use. I say use because a lot of you aren't right now. You don't even hang out in the place that's the centerpiece of your home because you don't like it. Make it a place where you can hang out and enjoy it, and it's not that complicated. It's very doable. Go to klzradio.com, look for Enchanted Kitchens, or call them at 303-376-7588.
The Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center feels like home, only better. The design process at Enchanted Kitchens always begins in their award-winning showroom because their team believes you need to see, touch, and feel your new kitchen ahead of time. Built to look like a nicer version of your own home with an open floor plan, the Experience Center allows you to visualize a kitchen that works. Standing inside a true-to-life example of a functional kitchen, you can start to imagine how much more you'll enjoy your new space, solidifying your vision for your home. Then, the Enchanted Kitchens design team will bring samples into your home to help truly picture your new kitchen and discuss the design based on your budget and style. Visit the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center and feel at home, only better. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/kitchens and schedule a free design consultation at the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center, where magic meets design.
Hey, and Kurt Rogers, who also works very closely with Enchanted Kitchens, can figure out a way for you to get that Enchanted Kitchens and in a lot of cases not change your cash flow at all. In fact, depending upon your circumstances, you might save a little money and still get the kitchen you want. That's what Kurt can do for you. 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change. All without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Amy Swearer joining us now from Heritage. Amy, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today?
Thank you for having me. I'm well, thank you.
We appreciate it. Okay, we all know about our SCOTUS nominee who's already gone through the Senate end of things. They just need to vote and get the rest of this thing kind of dialed in and done. How important is it for us to have somebody like Amy Coney Barrett?
Well, I think it's vitally important for anybody, as I believe we all should be, who is interested in protecting our individual rights, our civil liberties, and in adhering to the Constitution and the rule of law as it exists and not as the judge wishes it to be, because that is what you're getting in a hypothetical and hopefully soon to be Justice Barrett, is someone who knows that her job is not to legislate from the bench, but to take the law as it was written, as it meant at the time it was written, and to continue to apply it until the people change it and not until she decides arbitrarily it needs to be updated or revised.
Yeah, and to your point, one of the things that I've constantly questioned ever since I've been on air for the past 6 years is the fact that we have quote-unquote gun control laws across the country, and the reality is, the way I read it, our Second Amendment doesn't give any jurisdiction anywhere across this country any power to do so, yet we've allowed those things to stay in existence.
Right, and so you get a lot of this because you have individuals, whether they're judges or lawmakers, who look at the Second Amendment and say, well, that's great that, you know, back in 1789 and then, you know, in 1868 when we put in the 14th Amendment, you know, back when we had muskets and it wasn't that big of a deal, maybe it made sense to have a right to keep and bear arms, but we don't like that anymore. So instead of changing the Constitution with this broad national consensus, we're just going to pretend it means something other than what it has always meant. And so that's really the problem, not just with the Second Amendment and how judges have interpreted that, but with every other amendment as well. So I think, again, that's what you're looking for, is a judge like Judge Barrett who will abide by what the law is, knows that that law does not change until the people change it, either through the amendment process or, if it's a statute, by changing the statute.
Well, and I appreciate you writing on the Second Amendment with her, because what we've heard mostly up to this point, even from conservatives, is more of the Roe v. Wade thing, which I'm not going to say that I don't care about Roe v. Wade, because I do. But frankly, Amy, and I know there's a lot of conservatives that may not like me saying this, but to me, that's secondary even to the Second Amendment. And here's why I say that. If we don't keep the Second Amendment intact and have that as a country, we lose everything else. And even the abortion issue at that point becomes, you know, off the table, because everything else goes away if we lose the Second Amendment.
Yeah, there is something fundamentally unique and significant about the Second Amendment. And I think part of that is the purpose of the Second Amendment. It's the security of a free state. And so it stands for the premise of the people themselves having the power, the people being armed, this sort of last-ditch fail-safe against whether it be tyranny, whether it be foreign invasions, or whether it be, you know, you and me as individuals defending and protecting our individual rights in our communities when the government either refuses to or can't be there. And so, again, you know, there is something unique in this, that we as individual American citizens and collectively have this power, that this is what gives the rest of our Constitution and our promise of the protection of individual rights, it gives it teeth. You know, it's not like Venezuela, where they have this Constitution with all these nice, pretty passages about all these rights that people have, and it means nothing. At the end of the day, we have some sort of fail-safe mechanism to say, yeah, the other ones of our rights matter, and we can do something about it. So I think you're right.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to, you know, have anybody, you know, come back and say, well, John doesn't care anything about, you know, Roe v. Wade and abortion and those sorts of things, because that everybody knows me and knows that's not the case. But Amy, I also get tired of the left and even certain, you know, conservative judges, quote unquote. And this is where I think it's really important to have somebody like Amy Coney Barrett that will look at the Constitution the way that I believe she will. And that's this business of, well, you know, when they wrote that, you know, all we had were muskets, and I really don't think the Founding Fathers meant that, you know, you should have some sort of an AR-15 today, because that's not one and the same of what they had back then. But I, being a avid gun owner and somebody that's been around firearms, literally, Amy, all my life, and know the history of the firearm very well, will tell you that, no, that's exactly what they meant, because the type of muskets that we even had back in the day to defeat the British were basically as advanced as any weapons were known to mankind at that time, and that gave us one up on the British, and that's why we won the war.
Right, yeah, the Kentucky long rifle, the brown bass musket of that day, those were weapons of war.
That's right.
Now, they were also weapons that people owned for various reasons in their homes, either for self-defense or hunting, but also because they would show up to militia service with this. You know, these were not, you know, regardless of what Joe Biden will say or anyone else, the Second Amendment has really nothing to do with hunting. That's sort of a secondary thing. Again, the purpose of the Second Amendment is the security of a free state, whether that's against tyranny, whether that's against foreign invasion, you know, whether that's me being able to defend myself. But this idea of, oh, well, you know, the AR-15s didn't exist at the time, we don't do that with any other right. You know, we don't sit here and go, oh, well, you know what? The internet didn't exist at the time of the First Amendment, so you don't have a right to speech on the internet. It's just silly.
Has Joe Biden advanced any legislation to limit criminals to carrying muskets?
Well, I think if Joe Biden had his way, criminal or not criminal, you'd be begging the government for permission to own firearms or to not have your firearms taken from you.
Yeah, well, let's face it. Here's how they would work this, Amy and Andy. You know this as well. What they would really do first, Amy, this is what every Democrat wants, is they want such tight gun control measures that every person that owns a gun in the country would have to register each and individual, every single firearm that they own. And then after that, on down the road, would then come back into the, well, you can't own this one and you can't own that one. And you got to turn this one in. You got to turn that one in, to the point where before long, the citizenry is stripped of even owning a gun in, at all, period. That's how they would actually go about doing it, in my opinion.
I mean, well, you look at the quote-unquote gun control plan that Biden has put forward, and that's exactly what it is. Your AR-15 and then every single magazine that you have that is over whatever his arbitrary thing is, whether it's 10 or 15 rounds, you're not only going to have to register that, but you're going to have to pay the $400 NFA tax on it as well per item. So, I mean, you're not too far off. That is literally what is being suggested.
Yep.
Look, I basically, Amy, feel that everybody should be as well-armed as the bad guys who would do them harm, all right? And there is no way to keep them from carrying deadly weapons. You know, one thing that we all hate is when we watch a movie and the bad guys seem to have all the great guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the good guy has the pea shooter and the bad guys have a bunch of Uzis. This is not fair. And I think Joe Biden would create a country where that is what we would see. Now, looking at the Supreme Court, are we seeing a 5-4 majority about to happen here? And what I mean is this. John Roberts, once again, just sided with the left on another thing. I think it was a voting issue in Pennsylvania. And I think he's become the leader of the left. And is John Roberts actually somewhat terrified of what he's about to see come onto the court?
Well, so I think there's another theory. I think, you know, ultimately, especially when it comes to the Second Amendment, you'll have a solid fifth vote in a Justice Barrett.
Right.
But I think, too, when you look at John Roberts, he's known as an institutionalist. He cares about the image of the court. He actually very much hates politically things that look political and are 5-4 decisions along partisan lines, or allegedly partisan lines. Judges, of course, are not actually supposed to be partisan. So what I think you'll actually see is with the addition of that fifth justice, you'll have John Roberts actually coming in a lot more as a sixth justice, so that it is a 6-3 instead of a 5-4. But I think right now his main concern is not what is the rule of law, what is a good judge to do looking at this and applying it to the facts of the case. It's, oh no, what will people think? And so I think with a fifth, one more justice added to that, I think actually we might see more 6-3 decisions as opposed to 5-4 decisions.
Okay, that would surprise me, but I really would like to see that. I hope we do.
Yeah, you and I both.
All right, Amy, as always, we appreciate it. Where can folks find this last article? I know it's at Heritage. How do they find it?
So you can find it at Heritage. You can find it at thedailysignal.com, or you can always follow me on Twitter at Amy Swearer. That's just at first name, last name on Twitter.
Perfect. Amy, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, let's do this. Bruce is... there we go. Bruce is calling in from Minnesota. Bruce, how are you today, sir?
Well, there you go. Don't you know? You bet you.
Hey, don't you know?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
We're okay, sir. How are you?
The current topic makes me want to just chew stuff. There was a automatic weapon back called the Puckle gun. And this is about the same time that the Constitution was written.
It was an air rifle, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
No, there's different. The Germans had the air rifle that was a multi-shot
weapon. And we did too, by the way. Lewis and Clark actually had it.
Yes, they did. The Second Amendment wasn't about deer hunting.
Nope.
The Second Amendment was about
tyranny.
Tyrannical
Bruce,
government.
It was about, let's face it, one word, tyranny. That's what the Second Amendment was there for, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, if they're going to get all hoity-toity about that, well, then the First Amendment does not cover the Internet. You better have a quill pen and know how to write in...
cursive.
Cursive, correct. And if that's the case, well, then all the medical stuff, all the medical advances we've come across, well, you better write that off too, because you got to have some leeches and some other very.
Yeah, and I'm looking to get one of those white wigs.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and real quick, just Bruce, to follow up to what you said to make sure everybody understands, and I did look it up, the Puckle Gun, P-U-C-K-L-E, was actually a tripod-mounted single-barrel flintlock, but it still held 6 to 11 shots, which back in its day was very, very advanced, Bruce, and that was roughly about 50 to 60 years prior to the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Yes, and the Declaration was signed in what year?
1776 is when we started, but...
Yes, so 1776 minus, give or take, 50, yeah, so...
So these guys knew all about warfare, let's just say it that way, Bruce. So when you hear the left, and this is for everybody listening, when you hear somebody from the left, or even somebody that's a conservative, talking about gun control and why we need some, and that's not what the Founding Fathers meant... the reality is nothing could be further from the truth. The Founding Fathers knew exactly what they meant when they wrote the Second Amendment and how we should be able to keep and bear arms to protect ourselves from them.
That is correct. And before Denver instituted their 10-round magazine policy, I've got, I'm not going to say anything. That was a terrible boating accident that happened, and I lost all kinds of 30-round magazines. It was horrible.
Gotcha. They all went away, huh?
Yeah, but I'm in Minnesota, which is kind of worse than Colorado, because our governor here, this schmuck.
He's an ex-librarian, Bruce. Let's just say it for what it is.
That's
that's Wisconsin. That's yours.
Wisconsin.
Sorry, Andy. That's your guy. Sorry, yeah. sorry.
That's my hellish background.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
State.
I got him. Yes. I got him mixed up. Yeah. My bad.
Well, Commissar Comrade Waltz, he calls where I live where the cows and the rocks are.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's really funny. And between Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, you all three sort of have schmuck governors right there, don't you?
Well, we're not as bad as Whitmer, but...
all three of those governors, though, Bruce, are pushing their states to possibly vote for Trump in this upcoming election. I mean, Minnesota actually could go Trump, which is utterly shocking.
Yeah. Yes, it is. I would love to see each county one vote, kind of like the Electoral College for governor, because right now Minneapolis.
Yeah, we're the same here. You know that. You're the same here, Bruce. Between Denver, Boulder, and a few of the surrounding liberal suburbs, they elect the governor. The rest of the state doesn't have a chance. I hate to say this, but I'm not sure it's even worth casting a ballot in the rest of the state, because it's really hard to outweigh what happens in the three or four cities around Denver that basically elect the governor.
Oh, yeah. That's why I would love to see an electoral college in each state, county by county, because that would outweigh...
Yeah, it would. Great point.
The cities.
County electors.
Can I just ask one quick question? Bruce, I know we got to go to break here, but really quick. You guys watched Minneapolis burn. Okay, you watched everything that happened. Has that spurred independents to vote more Republican in the upcoming election, in your view, throughout Minnesota?
Well, I'm about, give or take, 110 miles north and west of Minneapolis, and I have only seen two different places that have Biden signs. We had 3 weeks ago, last week too, Trump caravans.
Gotcha.
And I have never seen that.
Okay.
I have never seen anything like that anywhere. And I've lived in Virginia, California, Colorado, and Minnesota, and I was in the service, and I've never seen anything like it.
Awesome. Bruce, I appreciate you calling. Got to take a break all the way from Minnesota. Thank you very much. Vining, Minnesota, by the way. Bruce, thanks for listening. Novus Auto Glass, folks, is coming up next. And technology, yes. A lot of you driving these vehicles today that have lane departure, lane keep assist, all of that, you've got technology on your vehicle that when a windshield gets replaced, it has to be calibrated. Novus can do that for you. They work with all insurance companies. Give them a call today. Find a location near you. Go to rushtoreason.com/Novus.
Novus means innovate. As the original inventors of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass continues to stay on the cutting edge of glass repair and replacement. Any vehicle with lane departure technology needs to be recalibrated after a windshield replacement because of the cameras and sensors mounted to your windshield. All of those sensors need to be carefully realigned so your vehicle provides accurate positioning information. And each vehicle manufacturer is different. Most auto glass facilities, even the big names, do not have the right tools and equipment to calibrate your windshield. They can only replace the glass, not recalibrate the sensors. Because Novus Auto Glass constantly upgrades to keep pace with the changing industry, the majority of their locations now offer calibrations. Get your windshield replaced and the sensors recalibrated with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass at rushtoreason.com/Novus, N-O-V-U-S.
Extreme Auto Repair, they want to help you out with all of your vehicle needs. And don't forget, before we get into winter, tires. Tires are a big deal. First of all, you can get a free second opinion, but tires, you can get a cost plus a $70 rebate on Cooper Tires. So give them a call today. Find out more, 303-841-1071, or go to extremeautorepair.com or find them on our website, klzradio.com.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair will help you prioritize your vehicle's maintenance. You know there's a lot more to maintaining your vehicle than just getting your oil changed, but it seems like every time you go to the shop, the mechanic finds 10 things wrong, and all of them need to be fixed immediately, or there could be dire consequences. In your experience, very few auto repair shops will level with you about what's most important to fix right now and what could wait until later. The team of ASE-certified technicians at Extreme Auto Repair do their best to inform you about your vehicle's factory-recommended maintenance without using scare tactics to pressure you into spending more money. They have a reputation among their many repeat customers of only fixing what needs to be fixed, not more. At Extreme Auto Repair in Parker, you can trust their team to tell you what needs to be fixed when. Find out what your vehicle really needs at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price. So they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Charlie. All right, we all know Andy's the movie guy, and we had this in yesterday's notes. Just never got a chance to do it, and that is, and Andy's got an article that he put in here as well, but masks and distancing create what, Andy, at the theater?
They're killing it.
Yeah.
They create paranoia. Masks and distancing have created paranoia in the theaters, and now what the theaters are finding is they can't get people to sit near each other without them being panicked.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, the whole idea of a theater, John, is to pack a bunch of people together for a general experience of watching a movie. And so right now the theaters are devastated.
Yeah, this article that you put in here from Fox Business, AMC renting out theaters for $99 amid the pandemic recovery plans, and the chain is facing a total loss of funds by the end of the year.
Right. Basically, $100 will get you an auditorium for some old movie, and maybe you do it for a group or whatever. Now, you could always rent...
Blast, by the way.
Yeah, you could always rent auditoriums for a group, you know, a church group or whatever, but it was much more expensive than that.
Oh, a lot more.
Yeah, because they are giving you an incredible experience.
Oh, yeah. Stage, the whole nine yards. It's a great deal.
Right. Now, they're counting on you obviously buying food there, which a number of your people will, you know, and I...
So they say that the rental price goes up to $350 depending upon the movie. Well, let's just say you got like 20 of your closest friends to go, you know, hang out at a movie and watch some old movie together.
There is nothing like owning the theater.
That'd be awesome.
Right. There's nothing like owning the auditorium, you know, and I've done it.
So you
I've
get
done
like
it
20
groups.
Of your closest friends and go watch Tommy Boy.
Right. And it's a blast.
Be a great night. Be a great guy's night out.
It would be a great guy's night out. Is it expensive? Yeah, it's expensive, and you're going to have fun.
For $350 divided by 20, it's not.
Right.
It's pretty cheap fun. Actually, a pretty cheap night.
Yeah, it is a cheap night. And besides which, you can do a lot more than 20.
Well, yeah,
you do 40 could. Or 50.
I just threw 20 out just as, you know, hey, go get 20 of your closest friends and go have a night.
Or, you know, for $100, get 20 guys, you know, 20 people.
But I mean, even
it's only going to cost you $100 because you're only going to be getting one of the small auditoriums.
That's true. But let's say you did a big one at 350 and you had 20 guys. It's still only $17.50 a person.
Right.
That's a pretty cheap night out.
Well, yeah, but that's not going to cover your food.
No, but I'm just saying. There's a lot of guys out there that would go do something that would cost more than
$17.50. The bottom line is $350 would be a lot more than 20 people. You'd be doing it for 100 people. Okay, so if you do this, though, they're thinking if they've got empty auditoriums, which is what they have right now.
They are
dying.
Yeah, it's the skeletons are there.
Kevin Polis has destroyed the movie industry, and here's the big problem. You know, people wonder, well, gee, why does even South Dakota have some unemployment still? Well, it's because of Colorado. It's because of California. Look, you've got, with all these major markets like Denver, LA, and so forth, ruining the theaters, that the Universal and these people can't put out the good movies.
They're not going to.
Right, which means in South Dakota, you don't have the good movies.
Right.
See how it affects everybody?
Cheyenne or any other place.
Exactly. And so what's happening is the blue states are destroying the fun for the red states. And that's what's happening right now. Now, you can rent out a theater. And yeah, by the way, it's a lot of fun. And you'd get it for $100, 20 people. And they figure, okay, you come in. You can't bring your own food in.
You're going to bring something. No, you're going to buy something.
You're going to buy something. Yeah. And, you know, you and I would. We'd buy real food there.
Sure, I would.
And they can make some money that way. Is it going to work? No, it's not enough. Look, what has to happen is this. Masks have to go away.
Yeah, well said.
Masks are killing the theaters. That's
Andy,
it.
Masks are killing everything.
Yes.
Anything that they're on, they're killing. Let's say it that way.
You can't have terrified public.
Stadium events, the only places they're not killing, but I think it even is killing them to a certain extent.
Big box stores.
Yeah, and I say they're not killing them. I know their sales are not going to show that it's getting killed, but you know what? If people really had the ability to even go there and shop longer because they didn't have a dumb mask on, their sales would even be higher.
Oh, yes. Especially coming into the holidays.
That's another we'll have to get to that in the future. There's a lot to talk about there.
Right.
Holy cow.
The holidays are going to be an all-Amazon Christmas.
And Christian, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, we'll come back. Don't go anywhere. Purefoy Chevrolet's coming up next, folks. Speaking of buying things, one thing that is still really, really hard to buy online. In fact, it's virtually impossible. I know you can look and you can shop. You know, you cannot get behind the wheel of a car online, can you, Andy? It's not the same.
I've tried. It hasn't worked well.
You can't do. You can read every review. You can read all about a car. You can look at it. You can look at the pretty pictures. But the reality is you don't know how the seat fits. You don't know how it drives. You don't know how it sounds. You don't know really its performance in regards to how you like things to work.
Got to go
every driver is different. You got to go drive it and have the driving experience.
Got to.
So Purefoy Chevrolet will offer you that driving experience. Let you test drive. New, used. They've got you covered. It's purefoychevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purefoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Charlie. Don't forget, dethronepolis.com is where you go to find out where you can sign the petition to get rid of our illustrious Kevin Polis.
He's killing us.
He is killing us, folks. He
and
really is.
By the way, all those mountain towns up there, they vote for Kevin Polis. You know what that's like? That's like voting for your own firing squad.
Well said.
We're coming into the holidays, they're not going to have the business up there, and it's going to be because masks and distancing are killing it.
All right, tomorrow we got a lot in store. Health and Wellness Wednesday. Dr. Julie, Dan Ferris is going to join us. What financial news is real? Of course, Olivia Perez Cubas is always with us at the 4:30 mark. Liz Mayer, who hasn't been on with us for a while from Mayer Strategies, will be with us in the 5 o'clock hour as well. That's all tomorrow. But up next is the first hour replayed. If you missed it, catch it next. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.